Welcome to episode 102 of the Nerdstravaganza podcast. We come to you dubbed in English this week for your convenience and pleasure. I'm Tom, providing the voice of Tom.
I'm Eric, providing the nasally voice of Eric.
And I'm Brian, providing the voice of Brian.
And today we'll be discussing the launch of the hit anime Attack on Titan on Cartoon Network's Toonami programming block, and from there launching into a broader discussion of localization in general and how much we all love it, I'm sure. But first, let's provide you with an appropriately localized update as to the goings-on in our lives with our weekly geekly, geekly weekly update. Eric, what you been up to? What news you got?
I have been horribly sick, so when I introduce myself as being the nasally one, it's going to be way worse this week. I am feeling better. My fever is gone, which is nice. So my weekly geekly basically consists of everything I did while having cabin fever, which was mostly a Harry Potter marathon. As for news, I'm actually going to hold off on my news story for now. I did have one I wanted to share, but it ties so well in with today's episode, I'm going to hang on to it.
Okay. I will say that it is a perfect way to spend some sick time going through a marathon of Harry Potter.
Yeah, it helped.
What about you, Brian? Any marathons in your recent past?
No marathons. I was anxiously awaiting the release of the X-Wing miniature Rebel Carrier. I'm pretty excited about that. It's the first like giant ship, and even more excited for the X-Wing that comes with it. Apparently the X-Wing is a new paint job, which just thrills me. I love that variety in our models.
That's cool. So it has like an escort fighter that comes with it, basically?
It does. It has an X-Wing escort, and one of the pilots in that is, of course, fan favorite Porkins.
He's my favorite.
Absolutely.
People were kind of pissed that he wasn't included in any of the pilots and any of the expansions. So I think they threw him this bone. And
that sounds wrong. It sounds wrong to say we're throwing Porkins a bone. I'm sorry.
They threw the fans Porkins as a bone.
Do you think that we'll see Porkins' grandson in the sequels? Just for the record, not to derail you. Chubbins?
You know, they felt this need, especially with the Antilles family in the prequels, to just show you that there were, I don't know, oligarchies, like these groups of people that were just ongoing, that you were going to see their relatives everywhere. I could live without that.
So no Cracklin, you don't think, Brian? I mean, are you with Eric on this one?
You know what? I've been such an EU snob lately. I will point out that I really love some of the Wedge stuff in the EU. So I'm kind of hoping they keep the oligarchies going.
And don't get me wrong. I could live with a new Solo. I could live with a new Skywalker. I just don't want them to overdo it. It felt like they overdid it a little bit.
No, I didn't like anything about the prequels. So yeah, it was a little silly. Hopefully Porkins is just Porkins.
So anything else, Brian?
Well, speaking of Star Wars, what looks like the first official announcement about the cast for Episode 7 came out this week. So I have been, if you want to call anything I did a marathon, I have been marathon news reading and opinion reading and past filmography reading and studying up on everybody there. And can I just say, I'm actually really excited about Max von Sydow. I like him.
I was nervous when they announced the cast, and as soon as I read it, I felt immediately better. There's nothing on there I'm really upset about. I don't think anyone was surprised at this point, because the rumors were overwhelming that we were going to see a return of a lot of members. But the younger casting, the newer casting, there's nothing that bothers me.
Can you cast some light on, what was that name, Max on what?
Max von Sydow? He's a Grand Moff. Like, he's a real-life Grand Moff. They need no makeup. They probably don't even need to change his accent or anything like that. The guy just looks perfect for being this regal, lawful, evil, maniacal villain. It's great. I don't even know if that's what they're going to do with him, but I hope so. It's got me excited.
Cool. Your excitement's got me excited. Anything else?
That's it for me.
I will say I'm excited about the casting of Andy Serkis, just because, or Serkis, I'm not really sure on the pronunciation of his last name. It's the guy who played Gollum. He did the body acting for the Planet of the Apes, for the King Kong reboot, even though it was terrible. He did a good job.
King Kong was great.
Yeah, King Kong looked fantastic. So it gives me some excitement that there's going to be kind of some cool creature characters.
I hope so. I think the Willow guy might be, what, long in the tooth at this point, so they need a new guy to do creatures?
I wouldn't be surprised if we see Warwick Davis back in some aspect.
Well, now we'll have two creature guys, so it should be cool. Well, my update's pretty short. I basically have been playing more Disney Magical World on the 3DS. And along those lines, I have some Disney news, because I am a little bit of a Disney geek. Apparently, a well-known Imagineer named Tom Fitzgerald has been announced as the person to be heading up Imagineering at Epcot. And the park is slated to undergo a pretty major re-imagineering campaign to, quote, restore the original intent in both Future World and World Showcase. And those are not really quotes, but that's kind of my para-quoting of what's going on. So that's exciting for people that are into theme parks, that are into Epcot and what its original vision was. I won't go into great detail on that, but on the Disney front, pretty cool. And
yeah, that addresses pretty much everything you guys naysayed in the last episode.
Yeah. So let's hope. Fingers crossed. And kind of ties into Star Wars because it's all Disney now. And that concludes my update. Unless you guys have anything else, I guess we can move forward into localization and especially Attack on Titan and our thoughts on that. And nobody objects, so let's do it.
Yeah, no, we'll jump right in.
Well, I think we should move the spotlight over to Brian right away because he really motivated tonight's topic. All of us have watched the Attack on Titan show. Brian, I know you and I both own a pretty significant run of the manga, and you and I have also been fans of anime and manga going all the way back to our youth and have had, I would say it's fair to say that you and I cast a fairly dim eye on localization, especially dubbing. Is that correct?
I begrudgingly admit it has gotten better recently. Once upon a time, it was god-awful.
Yeah, so with that said, what are your thoughts? How are you feeling about Attack on Titan and this dubbing and localization, and I'm assuming editing for TV?
I'm actually very intrigued by this news because of the fragmenting that we're going to have. So basically, everyone who's ever heard of anime has already watched Attack on Titan anime on whatever, Crunchyroll, whatever service you use. So there's those fans. They're already, like, elitist that are pissed off because, oh, you anime fans don't know what it's really like in the manga. So there's those fans. And now we're going to have another subgenre of Toonami fans who are behind the anime, which is behind the manga. So I'm just kind of curious what kind of weird, like, bar fights are going to break out over this.
Geek bar fights, that should be good.
You could even put a sub fragment in there because all of the episodes are on Hulu and Netflix as well.
Okay, so pretty much anybody who's interested in this has seen it.
Yeah, it's available in more ways than you can imagine at this point. For anyone who has any interest in anime, there's no way you have.
Well, that raises a question in my mind. Are we going to see the Narutoization of Attack on Titan now, where it becomes something that a lot of kids who really weren't into it before now like because it's on Toonami?
You know, that's immediately where my mind went. And when I think of the fragmentation that Brian was talking about, I think Naruto is the perfect example because when Naruto first hit and I was going to cons and talking to anime fans and friends, everyone loved it. I didn't know anyone who didn't like it. I didn't know anyone who wasn't watching it or talking about it or buying memorabilia online or wanting a jacket. And as soon as it hit the kind of child-friendly American TV, that all stopped. Everyone hated it. And I'm like, what happened to this love affair you had with it? All of a sudden you hate it. And I guess there were a couple things that made people hate it. One was, of course, you were now associating with your typical American 12-year-old. But I think more was, honestly, in the localization and the dubbing. Naruto definitely suffered from some of the worst localization and dubbing I think I've ever seen, next to maybe the first Dragon Ball series. It was just absolutely god-awful. They gave him a catchphrase. The voice acting was horrendous. anything that could be considered even remotely mature, even if it wasn't offensive, was gone.
Yeah, they Saturday morning cartoonified it, and I know Brian and I can attest on the retail level, one of our local comic everything institutions, well, let's just say at Tate's, we propped the place out enough, ended up with like a whole section of Naruto stuff, and that's where all the kids would congregate. I mean, it was a real big hit with the kids, but they had to kind of give up what it was to make it a Saturday morning cartoon, you know?
Yeah, they tore it to shreds.
And Brian, your objection was more or less along the same lines as Eric's, right?
Yeah, you know, I was never a huge Naruto fan when it was anime, but when it became a Saturday morning cartoon, I really, like, it wasn't very good, so I didn't enjoy it. And I kind of object to all of these people who have never seen the real thing. What do they call it? Like, squeeing over how good it is now that it's fucking bastardized?
And they don't know any better, right? So it's not like they're liking the sucky product. They haven't seen it in its best form.
I always come back to this comparison. I don't really dig Marilyn Manson, but I know some people that are just like, dude, it's such a cool concept album. He's really good. Look at this. You know, like, they approach it from an artistic, like, I appreciate the music. And I can respect that. But 99% of his fans go, ha, ha, cool, death, cool. Ha, ha, ha. And I just hate them. I hate them so much.
And so it will go in your mind with Attack on Titan. Ha, Titans, cool. Blades swinging from buildings, etc.
I think that's what it's going to be. It's going to be, you know, everybody's, like, excited about a sword. And I'm really afraid that they're either going to edit the female Titan, or you're going to get, like, weirdly sexualized, like, muscular boobs. Like,
yeah, it's going to be one or the other. And I've seen some really extreme localization, not even in the anime world, but even in live-action films. I don't know if you guys recall this, but when they brought Shaolin Soccer, and for those who haven't seen Shaolin Soccer, it's a comedy movie. It's basically a soccer film where guys do kung fu to win at a soccer match. And in one of the final scenes, they kick the soccer ball at the goalie so hard that it creates this giant, like, typhoon that blows the pants, literally the clothes, off of the goaltender, and the ball shoots through the net and everybody goes flying and it's insane. They drew underwear on the guy. And now you only see his butt. But literally, to bring it and even make it PG-13, they drew underwear on the guy. Like, they CG'd underwear on him. Wow. So when I think of localization for stuff, that's the kind of stuff I think about. And I'm like, I really hope, and it's happened in really limited amounts, but I'm afraid that it's going to get to a point where not only are they going to change dialogue to make it a little bit more user-friendly, change dialogue to make it more family-friendly, remove things to make it more family-friendly, but genuinely start taking a pen to it. And that's my biggest fear.
Can you imagine just how much that would change? I mean, are we okay with, like, kind of pseudo-spoilers, or...?
Yes.
They're mindless eating machines. Who would sew their underwear?
Yeah, exactly.
Is there, like, a human trader that just, like, no, man, no, seriously, they bring me the skins of animals, and I sell those, and it is just silly in the world. It could not be possible.
The only way I could think of it is, like, the same people who built the walls to protect the city were also like, well, we also have to protect the children, so we should make giant pants.
You know, what's weird to me as you guys say this, it never entered my mind, because the Titans are neutered. They, by design, do not have genitalia, even in the Japanese version. And even the female ones that have breasts, I mean, they have, like, what looks like a massive breast tissue. There's no nipples or anything. I mean, there's no explicit nudity, is there?
No, they're the Barbie and Ken dolls of the giant human-eating world.
And you think even that will be objectionable?
I worry that it might.
Brian?
I worry that the neutered ones running around with, like, kind of quasi butts aren't going to get edited, but the female is. Because the female, that's a naked form, you know? Like, I can see that being too much.
My God, so they're going to, like, throw a bikini on her or something stupid?
Again, if you had told me this would be Adult Swim, I wouldn't have many worries. But knowing that it's Toonami, I mean, I have pause.
I just can't see how they can do that without making it look really stupid. Unless they turn, like, those regions where there would be, like, the lighter color tissue into, like, a bikini. Like, I don't know how else you could do it.
And maybe they'll put ice armor on everything.
There you go.
They could draw smoke in front of everything.
Right, they attack in clouds of smoke. It makes them even more mysterious. Or something stupid like that.
Or, I mean, and they've done this too. They crop the scene.
Oh, yeah.
So that the camera level is in a, like, kind of a different locale. So it cuts off at shoulder, let's say, instead of at, you know, belly button.
Can't they just not bring it out here if they're going to... If they even are entertaining anything this dumb?
Well, I'm hoping that they don't. But again, even with that cropping, it's always so obvious because you can see, like, the motion of the camera kind of changes. There's a grain in it, a graininess to it.
Right, right. And far more troubling to me, Eric, I want to address this. So we're envisioning a censoring of the visuals to appeal to, or sorry, to appease the uptight, sexually repressed audiences in the U.S. who will sexualize even a semi-nude human form. But you mentioned something even more horrifying, which is take a pen to it. You think they could actually change the story around?
I don't mean change the story. I mean take a pen and literally redraw things.
Okay.
Like add visuals that aren't there to, you know, again, like you said, to conceal, like the smoke, for example.
Okay, I thought an artist's pen, I mean, that's also horrifying, but for them to find some objectionable material in the story itself and redo that, I think would be even worse somehow.
That's not unheard of either in anime localization. They've definitely taken pens and just altered minor plot points so that they were a little bit more easy for American audiences to digest. They've certainly cut things flat out completely. And one of my favorite things, actually, when it comes to localization, and Pokemon is a huge, huge, huge... I don't even know what word I'm looking for here.
Example?
Offender? Yeah, they're... Offender would probably be a best term, yeah. Definitely an offender. Is when they localize just the words for things that you know it's not that when you look at it on the screen. For example, they'll be like, these are delicious donuts, or I love these hamburgers, and it's blatantly just a rice ball with seaweed wrapped around it.
Brian, what about you? You see I won't say artistic, you see any censoring license taken with the story, with terms, with language potentially coming down the pike?
I actually do have high hopes about this. Have either of you been watching Black Lagoon?
I've not.
No, neither have I.
It's pretty violent. And they say things. It's not heavily edited, and I'm impressed with that. I don't think it's part of Toonami. I think that is actually Adult Swim, so it's not the exact same thing, but it gives me hope again.
I've had some hope in recent years, and I'll give you an example. You mentioned it earlier that dubbing has gotten better, but I think even things that used to end up on the cutting room floor have gotten better. A perfect example is if you look at Totoro. One, the voice acting that they've done for the Disney DVD Blu-ray release is significantly better. And two, prior to this release, it was available in a few different Miramax releases, Miramax home video. And they actually cut the scene where the father is taking the bath with the two girls. And it's completely an innocent scene. And they cut it right out.
Because of the fears about pedophilia, or obviously, I mean, it goes without saying.
Yeah. But again, it's a father taking a bath with his daughters. Young right, daughters.
But in our stupid, like, again, like, it goes beyond just sexual repression. We sexualize even things that aren't sexual. The human form, a father in a bathtub with his daughters. Like, we're so obsessed with tamping down on sex that we look for it everywhere, I think. And that's kind of scary.
Yeah, I agree.
And my reason for mentioning that is not to kind of launch us into a discussion of morality in America and sexual repression or lack thereof. But to make a point, whenever you localize something to the American market, and this may be true going the other way, but I don't live in another market, so I can only speak to this particular set of circumstances. You run into a conflict between a more laid-back approach to the depiction of, well, really a lot of subject matter, to include the human form, and our more uptight social mores. Is that the right word, Brian?
Yeah.
So what are your thoughts on localization? I guess I want to get like a two-tiered set of thoughts from you guys on localization. One, localization for DVD for consumption by a select audience of adults who don't mind seeing a boob or a guy taking a bath with his kids versus localization for Saturday morning cartoons. I mean, does the latter endeavor even bear an attempt, given that you have to so destroy the original art in order to accomplish it?
I'm going to go ahead and say it really just comes down to the dollar. I don't think the people who are bringing these shows to the masses are doing so with the idea of saying we're going to bring this fantastic art form or this particular piece to the masses because we just think that it's just worth seeing, that we think people need to see it, we can't wait to provide it to our audience. I think it's, hey, look, this is popular, it already has the fan base, people are talking about it, it's trending on Facebook, let's sell it.
That is what worries me most about Attack on Titan, because I mean, we've established that anyone who has any interest in this has already seen it. So this isn't going to be about, let's, you know, bring in this new audience or anything like that. I think this is going to be about merchandising. I think we're going to see, like, Attack on Titan Dorito cans and Big Kid meals and...
I wonder about that, and that it makes me think about what the marketers have in their mind. Like, what is it about Attack on Titan? So as you say, everybody who has wanted to see it, all the niche fans like us, have seen it in some form or another. What goes through a marketer's head where he or she looks at this product and is like, yeah, this can sell. This can make for some great merchandising. Like, just the popularity. Do they go to a con and see cosplay kids, or do they just look at it and see dollar signs in the property in terms of how it can market things? Like, I know it's being used to market Subarus in Japan, for example.
Right. And again, I think they take almost what makes like a pros and cons list. Like, what are our costs going to be and what can our outcome be? And they look at cost as the dubbing, so voice localization, and then more importantly, cultural localization. And they weigh that against how much money is to be had from this, because that's going to cost some money to recut, to dub, basically to get it on the air in a format that is going to make them happy and be suited for advertisers, because even Japanese TV shows don't put their breaks in the same places we do. So even advertising becomes a challenge is where you put the commercial breaks.
I think Hot Topic is going to have a billion t-shirts, hoodies, and cheap little jewelry for this.
So you both see this gamble working. In other words, they are going to expand the market to maybe a little bit more mature, or maybe even the same Naruto demographic that they had success with in the past.
Yeah, I mean, Brian just hit on something that I hadn't even thought of till right now, and that is I have seen plenty of Attack on Titan stuff in Hot Topic already.
Really?
And I'm sure they looked at those numbers and said, these t-shirts are selling, let's sell even more.
Wow. Okay, so now whoever's localizing it owns the rights, and they can now make money as Hot Topic and other stores sell this stuff.
Yeah, I'm even wondering whether or not the people who are doing the localization already had those rights, because I'm sure they've been working on this for at least a year and said, let's just start merchandising now. Why are we waiting? We have a small base. Let's get as much as we can out the door as quickly as we can.
Fair point, and I definitely see the appeal when you put it that way. And Brian, you kind of agree with Eric on that? Do you have any?
Yeah, I mean, hopefully it's not necessarily a bad thing, but I'm not a terribly hopeful person. I think they're going to butcher it. I think they're going to butcher the fandom to make money.
And that's the point. I mean, all of these shows, even American shows, the whole purpose of putting anything on TV is to make money. You're doing it, if you're a strictly cable programming, HBO, for example, you're doing it for subscribers. If you're doing it because you are FX, you're doing it because of advertising dollars. It's all money in the long term. The question is really, what do they do with this particular piece in order to get that dollar?
Well, what I think is that they're going to milk it like they did with Naruto, like they did with Inuyasha. They're going to milk it and air it so much that you get sick of seeing it. And then I fear that the real fans, present company included, are going to be turned off and end up going away from this really cool property just because we're like sick of seeing it dubbed on Cartoon Network. And I hate to imply that we're elitist, but we kind of are, but I think that they're going to kind of maybe overplay it. It's going to be played out and we're going to lose interest. And if not us, then, you know, the kids who are currently cosplaying this stuff are going to lose interest.
You know, I'm going to defend the elitists here and say that when shows like this become popular, and I'm going to use that word, they become part of pop culture. And when you like something that is part of pop culture, and that's what the pop stands for, is popular, you're subscribing not only to liking that particular thing, but the popularity of that thing. That's what comes with pop culture. If you are sick of the popularity of something, I think it's well within your rights to say, I'm just flat out sick of it, regardless of whether it's popular or not, or strictly because it's popular.
So, Brian, do you agree that we could see a Naru-jection of Attack on Titan?
I am really trying to be, I guess, not elitist on this one. Neither of you had even seen Black Lagoon.
Correct, yes.
So it may not go crazy. Maybe they'll do a good job of it. Maybe it'll bring in some revenue. Maybe it'll bring in some new fans. How popular it was before this worries me, though. I think it's just going to be, like, crazy gangbusters, and everyone's going to be wearing it. And I think I will be very sick of this very soon.
The question is, can they make it as kid-friendly as they did with Naruto? And by the way, I want to point out that where is Naruto now? I mean, I don't see kids wearing it. And I work with kids. I don't see it around anymore. It's just, it has vanished.
Well, I know there's a new video game every 2 weeks.
Which is one of the few things they're still localizing, I suppose.
So, kid-friendly. I don't know. I don't think so. I don't think you'll get, like, the tween market on this one.
So, Brian, it sounds like you're hopeful that this might fail, which is bad for the people localizing it. Or, let's say it achieves a modicum of success and they get a return on their investment, but it doesn't blow up to Naruto proportions. That means we might still be able to like it, right?
Yeah, I really think that you can appeal to not everyone and still call it a success. You don't have to cast your net so wide that you lose any identity or any atmosphere. So, I hope they make money. Good for them. Bring more stuff out. But, you know, not mass marketed. Don't ruin everything.
And I'll point out that elitism can go too far. And this is where I brought up a news story I wanted to talk about. For those who didn't know, Sailor Moon is being rebooted for 2014. And they've said that they're going to stay truer to the manga for this one. The one thing they're sticking with is the voice actress, the Japanese voice actress, for Sailor Moon. And fans are really, really happy about it. And not just Japanese fans. I mean, American fans are really, really happy about it. Which brings us to the point of, these fans are so elitist that they not only love the series, love the original voice acting, they love the original voice actors, even though they probably don't know much about those actors. Or, and this is the other point of elitism, is they do love those actors and have taken the time to really learn their body of work.
You're talking about Western fans who are fans of the Japanese voice actors?
Right.
Wow. Do you think that American dub voice actors have such a following?
Elizabeth Berkley?
Yeah, in recent years, Disney has pulled out all the stops when it's come to the Miyazaki stuff, and they've done top billing.
I am embarrassed to say I don't know who Elizabeth Berkley is, but I feel like I should.
She was the first, like, horrible bastardization for me. She was Jessie from Saved by the Bell, and she did Showgirls. And they were like, Showgirls? That's perfect for Armitage!
Oh, her! I know who you're talking about now, the poodle hair chick, right?
Yeah.
Oh, boy. But, Eric, you're... Did I hear you kind of advocating for quality voice acting in a dub? Because you're saying Disney's pulling out top-shelf talent for Miyazaki stuff?
Yeah, it's been better. I can never appreciate a dub as much as I do the original, and I always prefer subtitles for two reasons. One, they have no need to localize the dialogue. You can read the literal translation. And two, I think more of the emotion that the director was really trying to get out comes across in the original voice acting.
Mm. It's interesting. I think back to my recent viewing of The Wind Rises, the Miyazaki film, which was dubbed, and I still enjoyed it. So I'm wondering whether I would have enjoyed it less had I seen the original subtitled version.
To make a more fair comparison, because I do think Disney is a world unto itself, would you have enjoyed Onohana as much if like Elizabeth Berkley was doing the voices?
No, I would not have, because they would have totally screwed that up. Yeah, and your point is definitely taken. Certain stories work better in their native language. And I think that's why, even with a lot of American exports, you see them subtitled in the native language, although dubs do happen, as evidenced by turning on the Spanish language channel and seeing Harrison Ford speak Spanish.
And I don't think it matters what quality of voice actor you throw out it. Don't get me wrong. I think a quality voice actor will at least give you a better dub. But I still don't think it makes up that difference when it comes to really selling the emotion. A perfect example, Howl's Moving Castle. The Americanized version, the part of Howl, is played by Christian Bale, someone you brought up last week. It's okay, but he's very dry. Christian Bale generally is very, very dry. And when you watch the original, that character is not that dry.
Yeah, something's just lost, I guess. I hate to use this now hackneyed term. Some gravitas is lost, perhaps. And I'll say this, to speak specifically again of Attack on Titan, I've seen the Toonami previews, and I don't like Aaron's voice at all.
Now, I haven't seen any of those previews, so I've not really heard what the American cast is going to sound like.
Not into it.
But I think that's to be expected. I don't think, after seeing the originals and getting familiar with those voices, and maybe this is where the Sailor Moon fans have a point, you do get familiar with what a character should sound like, and when they throw something strikingly different at you, it's like your brain doesn't function properly. It would be like if you were talking to me face to face, but somebody else's voice was coming out of your mouth.
You know, I'm glad you brought up Sailor Moon, because my only exposure to it was the dubbed version, even though I probably had access to it sooner than that. I never bothered until, well, except in video game form, I should say, until it came out here in the US dubbed. And for being a bunch of teenage girls, some of their voices sounded like a little too mature. Do you guys agree? Like, some of the voices sounded like a mature woman where you wanted a girl to be speaking?
Yeah, but I don't think that was something that was isolated just to dubbing. I think that was kind of popular in 80s and early 90s American cartoons as a whole.
Like girl sounding like a 35-year-old?
Yeah, exactly.
Brian, do you know what am I off in the weeds here, or you kind of get what I'm saying?
I'm familiar with it. I don't actually remember that being terrible in Sailor Moon.
Might just be my misremembering it. Let's hope so.
Having heard their Japanese voices, it could just be that I know that's not right and dismissed it too.
Yes.
Now let me ask you this question. Are there any dubs that you're kind of nostalgic for? Speed Racer comes to mind for me. The dub had like a nuance to it that I think no anime before or after had, this kind of literally speed talking.
Right, trying to keep cadence with like the fast-moving lips.
Right. That I do have a love for that dub. I do. Like, it's just, it's something that's nostalgic to me.
Brian, do you want to speak for both of us on Robotech, or do you have another one in mind?
You can't even really call Robotech a dub. It was so radically changed.
Yeah. So I'll say I'm nostalgic for the standalone treatment of the source material that was Robotech, which was an amalgamation of Macross and some other anime series which weren't even related. I'm nostalgic for that. If I was an adult at the time who had already watched the Macross anime, I probably would have hated it, truthfully. But yeah, the nostalgia's there because I'm a kid, and maybe that works for Attack on Titan just like it did for Naruto, and we're just out of luck because the kids are going to love it. Who knows?
I will say this, you know, elitism aside, voice actors are real popular at cons, so it's probably not going to hurt them too much.
You know what? And you just answered the question for me that I already knew the answer to that question when I asked it, Brian. Yeah, there is a following for American voice actors. So there is a segment of the anime fan base here that does not mind a dub. Not only do they not mind it, they like it because they appreciate the work of the voice actors. And maybe it's asking a little too much for the average person to read their entertainment as it goes by on the screen. I don't know. What do you guys think? Are we setting the bar too high for kind of passive enjoyment of Saturday morning programming?
You know, it makes you wonder if we're just old, because maybe the kids who grow up with the Naruto dub or the Attack on Titan dub are going to be nostalgic for it when they're our age.
Well, yeah. I mean, Brian and I just kind of excused Robotech because we were kids when we saw it, didn't know better.
Right, and the same with Speed Racer. So I'm wondering if this generation that's watching these at an age when we were watching Robotech and Speed Racer and whatever else was available to us, Star Blazers.
Transor Z!
Yes.
If they'll feel the same way that we do. If they'll have a nostalgia for just these voice actors, and having never known what the original even sounded like.
Having not known the right way to enjoy this stuff.
Yeah.
Fair points, and let it never be said that we don't consider other points of view, even wrong ones, here on the Nerdtravaganza podcast. Now, let me ask you the real question of the day. You're flipping through the channels. You see Attack on Titan. It's on. Let's see if it passes the Star Wars test. The Star Wars test is pretty much, if I'm flipping through channels and a Star Wars movie is on, even the Star Wars movie I hate the most, odds are I'm going to stop and watch it. Do you think, at least in the short term, before it gets played out, a la Naruto, Inuyasha, etc., you will pause to watch Attack on Titan if you see it on Toonami?
I'm going to change your analogy a little bit and say I've always called this the Shawshank Redemption on TBS test.
Okay, okay.
And the reason I say that is, one, if you know what I'm talking about, they play Shawshank Redemption endlessly on TBS. And two, it's extremely edited. And since that's what I think I'm going to get from Attack on Titan, yeah, I'll probably stop and watch it.
Brian?
Just for the music.
Nice.
For Noah, I mean, it may be good and there may be other reasons, but if there are no other reasons, I'll still listen for the music.
All right, so now I'm ready to mess with your head, Brian, and say, what if they localize the music? Because that's not unheard of at all.
I don't know. If they do that, I think they're just ruining the entire tone of the series, and I probably wouldn't care either way, so that may not be a problem.
Yeah, that's a good point.
You don't want, like, a Seether soundtrack for the series?
Like the really weird, like, heavy metal K-pop thing that, Death Note did?
Yeah. I guess I can answer the question. I will probably give this a chance. I will, if I see it on, I'll watch it. I may even go out of my way, like, oh, it's premiering. Let's see how bad it is. Like, morbid curiosity will drive me to watch it, and laziness will prevent me from changing the channel if it's on, at least for a while, until I get sick of it.
My DVR is set, if that means anything.
That means a lot. Wow, that show's intense, so you do have an open mind. Let it never be said that you do not.
I will out myself as a liar and point out that I was really just playing along with the question, because I've cut the cord. I don't have cable. I doubt I'll even see the Toonami version ever unless I'm at someone else's house.
Well, if you're over at my house, I'll give you control of the remote to see if you stop at Attack on Titan when it's on.
So we'll have the Prometheus test. You'll put it on and see if I just walk out the door.
Well, the Prometheus, yeah, right. You know, something's really objectionable if Eric just actively gets up and like, no, I'm not ready for this, and walks out as he did for Prometheus. All right, I guess that pretty much wraps up our discussion on Attack on Titan and gives our audience a pretty good idea on where we stand when it comes to localization of beloved properties from, well, really just Japan in this case, but I'm sure there are other localizations we could have talked about. Any other thoughts, closing remarks, etc. before we adjourn, fellas?
I'm going to take that as a no.
To quote a amazing video game, seems no one objects. Big inside joke there.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you what else you won't object to, dear listeners. Our podcast. At least no more than you objected to this episode. So why not give us a listen on the regular by subscribing to us on iTunes or through whatever other podcatching software you happen to use and giving us favorable ratings and feedback.
And if you like that, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter and Instagram, plus one us on Google Plus, and join our super secret nerd society on Facebook group.
Or you can localize our website by running it through Google Translate and heading to nerdstravaganza.com, or dropping us a line at nerdstravaganza@gmail.com.
Okay, I guess that's pretty much a wrap for this episode. We will see you next time.
Believe it!